This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to a very absolutely epic episode of the BCP Goodest Brother. There are more than 8 reasons right now why we love this guest at this time. Please welcome in a friend, mentor, a pillar of IWTV and the independent wrestling scene. She is the host of WrestleTee. She is a multiple-time hashtag wrestling fashion winner. Our good friend, Ms. Sam Laterna. Sam, welcome in. How are you? We're not
worthy. I'm doing very well. I don't think I'm living up to my fashion icon status right now. Just got back from the gym, but I appreciate that. I'm flattered and I'm excited to be on.
No, it's an honor, Sam, and thank you for making the time.
Thank you so much.
You know, I was so happy to just finally get to meet you. Like I said, I'm not worthy over at Pro Wrestling Magic, and you know, I got a chance to kind of meet you and talk to you. And I think at the time you were going through some kind of life changes and moves and all that, and I kind of talked to you and I was like, I've been there. It kind of stinks when you have to reboot everything, but it seems like things are going well for you. How's the move working out and everything?
Things are going very well. I moved into my new apartment. I moved 3 houses down from where I was living, and my crazy ex-roommate still lives across from me for another 5 days. So just trying to avoid this person. But other than that, things are going very well. I love my roommates. I love the space I'm in. I think it's really conducive for getting work done at home, different broadcasting projects.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm stuck with my crazy roommate, but it's so far so good. He's not sick of me yet, so we're good. And I did want to talk to you about this. You've been very public about this. You posted it on Twitter, I think, a while ago. With everything going on in the world, you know, you can no comment on this one, but I believe you posted that you did get let go from your job, but your boss was very encouraging, like, you're going to go very far in this business, which I've always said to you, Sam. Like, how has that been for you? Like, making that adjustment? It's been such a weird couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still like a bittersweet feeling being let go because I have too many broadcasting bookings because I'd like to make money. You know, broadcasting does not pay for my life. The job that I had did help that. But unfortunately, my boss, ex-boss, who is also a friend, had to do what's best for his business. I couldn't work weekends because wrestling is my priority.
Sure.
So, that's that. I haven't been working for the past couple of weeks. I have a little nest egg, so I've been enjoying just relaxing, going to shows for fun that I'm not working on. Happened to go to Beyond Project Dolphin last week or the week before and just enjoy the show. So getting some new experiences on that front, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not trying to be hard hitting or anything, but like when I was talking to you over at Magic, like it's all about rebooting. Like I had to do it. Luckily, this handsome took me in, and it's been great. And I get it, Sam. And I wanted to talk to you, obviously, about your goals moving forward because you're killing it right now. You are flying all over the world. Like I keep saying, you are the undisputed future of this business. Not to be cliche, but I got to ask, like, what are the goals here? Are you the next Charlie Arnold? Like, what are the goals right now?
This is like really weird to say, but I have no desire to do broadcasting outside of pro wrestling. I've had people contact me for different kind of work, like covering the Tribeca Film Festival, for example, and it's just not my passion. I don't want to do it. Would I do it if it facilitated opportunities within wrestling? Yes. But my immediate goals are just to work at as many places as possible. I'm gifted to be working for 15 of like the top companies
in
the States right now. But I think the next step, the next logical step would be working for a place that does TV level production, so that I get used to that, because my end goal is to work for a major company and get a broadcasting contract and contribute to a company in that way.
Yeah, it's not a matter of if, just a matter of when and where, Sam. And I truly believe that, not just blowing you up because you're on the show here. But and Sam, I did want to ask you this. You're traveling all over, going to all these different promotions. Like, you're synonymous with indie wrestling, which is really, really cool. I love seeing your path. And I remember going to Wrestling Magic and meeting you, and you were great. Everyone was really great. But Nunes is texting me when I'm there, and I've worked with some of these people, and I've been in some of these locker rooms, but never in Magic's locker room. And everyone was great, but there was definitely like this first kid or new day, you know, first day at school is the new kid kind of vibe. I'm like, oh, I can't sit at that table. Like all the cool people sit over there, and everyone was great. So I wanted to ask you, like, you're traveling all over the country doing this. Like, do you still kind of get that vibe when you go to new places?
I definitely have in the past. I feel like I'm in a very comfortable place right now with what I bring to the table at shows, like, you know, the role that I play. So I tend not to like cower in corners anymore, but I totally understand it. When I was wrestling, I would get really stressed out about shaking everyone's hands and, you know, making sure not to piss anybody off. But now I don't really give a shit because I'm a professional. I don't really piss anyone off. I just do my job. And I'm grateful that I get to work at a lot of places with so many people I know. So there's that point of comfort there, but that happens in time. And that will happen for you too. You already know a lot of people in the Northeastern scene. So as you start, you know, progressing and working more places, hopefully doing commentary, I think that you'll find that you won't be the new kid on the block.
Yeah.
You'll get more comfortable. It happens. It just takes a while. I've been doing this since 2015 and I finally feel comfortable.
No, you're killing it. And it's so funny you said sitting in the corner, because I was literally sitting in a corner with my phone plugged in. I mean, I like, saw I made my
you and I was like, dude, don't worry. Like, Pro Wrestling Magic is one of the nicest locker rooms. I love working there. Everyone just knows what their job is, performs, and it's a really safe space as well.
Yeah, it was absolutely. And, you know, shout to Jimmy Rye, who did a great job. And I was so excited to like just be on the call with you guys. It was amazing. You know, I was so excited to meet you. You were so just very like comforting and welcoming. And I'm like, I'm very funny or punny, Sam. Is that cool? And you're like, you know, we need that, like, go with that. And I think it was a good dynamic. I you know, you guys popped a couple times and I felt very welcome. So it was awesome. And then I saw you studying a lot of commentary this past week, and I had commented on some of your posts, like, who are you studying? So you actually study a lot of commentary from the past and stuff like that.
So honestly, I was just watching matches in a non-critical light. But then starting in like December, January, when I delved into commentary more seriously, that's when I started just seeing what different commentary styles were progressively from like the 80s to now. And you see the stylistic changes and, you know, what's important to get over then versus now. And for me, I'm finding that, like I said, Paul Crockett has been both a mentor to me and also just someone whose commentary just rocks play by play, I would say, and I'm not afraid to say it, is my weakness. I'm a color commentator right now. So getting to learn from
well, I respectfully disagree. Your play-by-play is pretty good, but go ahead.
But I think Paul has the best, one of the best play-by-play styles and voices in the country. So, you know, getting to study him and also just getting to pick his brain at Beyond and WWR has been great. But I'm also a big fan of, you know, the combo of Taz and Michael Cole.
Yes. They're
opposite. Okay. So I do tend to watch that too. But yeah, it really just depends on, I go with story. What match has a good story? And then I listen to how the commentators tell that story to the audience.
I love that. And Taz is one of my favorites. And it's interesting.
Soup bowls, Cole.
Yeah, there you go. It's interesting to me because I almost feel like, I mean, and I always say in wrestling, everyone's two people, but the first couple times I did it, or it was like hosting 80s wrestling or whatever it was, the signings, like I felt like I became a persona of myself. Like Rob Williams is this babe, self-deprecating, like baby face, like trying to be funny kind of thing. They keep asking me to come back, which is a good thing. But do you ever kind of feel that way? Like Sam Laterna is a persona in a way, but at the same time, very true to yourself.
Honestly, I think Sam Laterna is very much so Sam, real shoot name that I won't say because I don't want creepers. But if you're on Facebook with me, you're on Facebook with me. But if you're not, you're not. But what I will say is that I've tried to be really authentic because I think that that translates well to people, both from a broadcasting perspective and a wrestling perspective in general. And I think that authenticity has shown over the past year. And that's why WrestleT has thankfully been able to grow so much. And I've been given so many opportunities as a result of that. So yeah, just being yourself and elevating that when you have to. But I think that I was using kind of a big voice and being very performative. And then I had John Alba actually take a look at my reel and some of my work along with a broadcaster at a famous company. Nice. And they both told me, you got to be yourself. You got to find your natural voice and you have to actively listen. And that changed my whole perspective on everything. So the next interview I had, which was with Daniel Garcia at the time, I didn't plan everything out meticulously. I just listened and it was one of the most satisfying interviews I've ever had and landed me a little bit of work at Limitless. So I can't complain. So be yourself and find your authentic voice. That's what I'd say.
I love that. That's awesome. And shout to John Alba. He's kind of an Asbury Park, New Jersey guy. He can shred on the guitar too. So shout to him.
I love John.
Oh, he's great. And it's funny because like when I'm trying to find, like you said, like play by play or color, you know, I feel it depends like who I'm working with or, you know, where I'm sitting at the table, whatever it is. And again, like you said, the story, I try not to do like that Corey Graves things. I talk to Nunes backstage or whatever and stuff like that. I'll do it with like certain people I know, you know, Vicky wouldn't take a picture with me because she says she doesn't hang out with fives. Like, you know, I'll do those like little things and stuff like that. But do you get a lot of like feedback from like the wrestlers after you do their matches and stuff like that as far as commentary?
Honestly, one of the things that I find to be the most validating is when a wrestler says, hey, I really appreciated that, like you doing that for me on commentary or like giving a great ring announcement or, you know, delivering in an interview that gets buzz. That doesn't happen a lot. And I don't think it's because, you know, they don't appreciate what I do. But at the end of the day, the wrestlers are the focal point of the show. So I've learned to just be humble and be confident in my work. I know when I deliver because it creates other opportunities. So I don't necessarily need the validation from wrestlers or my peers. But I do get it occasionally. I had Becca actually from Scrunchy Squad, love her, tell me that she's like, you're everywhere. Like you're like more famous than some wrestlers. And I was like, I am definitely not, honey, but I am very, very, very flattered. So to get that kind of validation and have someone say, hey, I like your work, or have a promoter want to bring me back is really cool. Cause I don't want to talk too long about this, but sometimes promoters will book me cause I'm pretty. And then they realize that I'm good at what I do, which is what keeps me coming back. And I totally realize that that is a thing. So I try and work extra hard to prove that I'm not just a pretty face.
Hashtag top gal. And I'll say this, Sam, ring announcing, commentating, former in-ring talent. We'll talk about that in a little bit. What is your favorite? What is your favorite to do out of all of those?
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
No pressure. or you could say all of them.
I mean, I have a definite order, but okay, I will say it like this. I enjoy interviewing the most, but I think it's because it's what I'm most comfortable with at this moment in time. I would say commentary second, ring announcing third, but ring announcing has different benefits from a business perspective. So just depends what you're into. And with wrestling, I'd say right now, that's probably the least of my priorities. I have a very, very soft spot for wrestling, and I respect so many so much of what people do in the ring, but it's just not for me anymore. I don't want to be associated with wrestling in that way because I'm very much so trying to carve out my own niche within broadcasting. So I don't want to really blur those lines, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're doing an absolutely stellar job of all those things. Nooner, what do you got for me, bro?
So you're saying that interviewing is your favorite out of all of them. Who has been some of your favorite interviews so far? And who are some of your dream interviews?
Okay. So I actually have a pretty solid top three that I tend to say only because no one else has changed my mind yet. Okay. Max Caster.
Nice.
One of my favorites, just because Max and I, like from a humor perspective, bounce well off each other. And he just gave a really entertaining interview. I really appreciated that from him right before he got signed. So good
right
timing.
Before.
Yes. And I would say Chris Dickinson is one of my favorite people to interview only because Chris will always sit down with me no matter what. Even if I don't air the interview, he doesn't care. He's just down. He's like, Laterna, you got anything for me? I'll do it. And I've asked him some of the most ridiculous things, like who's your wrestling crush? And he just rolls with the punches, even though Chris Dickinson obviously isn't the type to answer those kinds of questions generally. Yeah. So Chris, for sure. And then, like I mentioned before, Daniel Garcia, that interview just has a special place in my heart because I feel like I listened to him, he listened to me, and we genuinely connected, not in like a weird way, just, you know, connected from an interviewer, an interviewee perspective. And we're both really grateful for that opportunity. And then I know this because when I saw him in Tampa a couple of weeks later, he was just like, I really enjoyed that interview and gave me some compliments, which I don't often get, as we spoke about before, from wrestlers. So those three are my faves.
A couple things. First of all, she's drinking the tea. I planned this interview out and I meant to have tea for us and I completely dropped the ball on that. I was
no worries.
Next time. I really enjoyed your interviews with Darius Carter, who's always a lot of fun. He was surprisingly
nice. I didn't mention nice Darius. Darius is one of my favorites too.
He was one of my favorite interviews on the podcast. He was
I thought he was going to kill us, but he was pretty nice.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
if you let him, he'll just go Anger.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing gets him rattled.
Yeah, that's right. Your interview with Charles Mason was very intense, man. He's fantastic in the ring. Yeah.
Big fan of Charles Mason for sure. He's definitely intimidating. We happened to do the interview in something that looked like a trap house, so the ambiance was perfect for, you know, his aura and his persona. So I'm very grateful for him for giving me that opportunity.
Yeah, and it's awesome, Sam. And I got to say this, I'm calling your bluff on this one because I posted that we were interviewing you tonight and you got so much love on socials. We got the like from Thunder Rosa, just putting that out there, name drop.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, and I saw her commenting even to bring up, you know, like the job situation. I wasn't trying to be hard hitting or anything, but just like the love and the support you got. And I think she even commented on that. And you're working with Mission Pro, and I can tell, you know, we talked to her like when she was in like the stages of making that an all like women promotion, and she's doing a great job with that. So tell us how you got to work with Thunder Rosa and Mission Pro and your relationship there, because it seems very, very positive.
Thank you. Yeah, I would definitely agree. It's a positive relationship that I'm cultivating there at Mission Pro. I've worked two of their shows over the past 2 months, one this past weekend. And this whole thing came about because I was actually contacted by a sponsor who wanted to sponsor me at Mission Pro Wrestling, which was so flattering. I'm so grateful for this person, Rob. You know who you are. He's been just a fantastic sponsor, super professional, and he's been sponsoring myself and Masha Slamovich. So I get to go down there and travel with one of my best friends, have a good time, act like a fool with Masha over the weekend, and get to cultivate a relationship with a professional relationship with someone like Thunder Rosa, who's just changing the game for women's wrestling. And yes, she's somebody that's making other women step up to the plate to become better. And that's what we need in pro wrestling. We need people who aren't concerned about, you know, their spot being taken away, because the more you give to others, like the more it will reward you, I think, from a karmic level. And also just, you need the wheel to keep turning. As one of my trainers, Johnny Rods, would say, the wheel turns as people, you know, progress. So her helping women on all platforms, myself, Alyssa Marino, Brittany Houtland, all broadcasters were getting opportunities there. And then also some of the stellar ladies there, like Jasmine Allure, Renegade Twins, Masha, of course, and La Rosa Negra, who's been established. But yes, yeah, Mission Pro is a great place. I would recommend y'all checking it out on Title Match.
Love it. Shameless promo. We're all about it, Sam. And, you know, shout again, Thunder Rosa, who is just like the hardest working woman in the business, not just in wrestling, but for charitable stuff. She came on for the speaking out stuff, like she just does everything, you know, tries to help everyone out. And I love to see her supporting you. But throwing it back, I did want to ask you this. We'll do a two-parter here. Who on the indies would you like to interview? You know, always do the dream matches with the wrestlers, and then who maybe on the national TV level would you like to interview right now?
Okay, so I thought you said 80s instead of indies.
Oh, I mean, you could go 80s if you want. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You want.
No, I'm good. Indies that I want to interview right now. You know, I've wanted to interview Lindsay Snow for a while before her injury, just because I think she's such a polarizing figure, legitimate ass. I'm going to call it out because I want an interview with both of these people, Mance Warner and Matt Justice. Mance always dodges me, not in a bad way. I just think he might be a little shy outside of the ring. And Matt Justice, who I have spoken to about getting an interview, we just haven't been at the same place, but I hope that happens soon, because I think he's such a renegade in the world of pro wrestling. He reminds me of like a 70s, 80s wrestler with his attitude and his mentality. So I just want to pick his brain. And I'd say like television caliber people, always on my list is Randy Orton. It would be an absolute honor. I have so much respect for what he does and all that he's been through and overcome. I do want to interview Thunder Rosa. I think that might be definitely possible. Ooh. And you know what? It would be really cool to get a full length interview with Jon Moxley. I have not had the opportunity to. Ooh. I did a small bit for IWTV.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So just getting to do that on my platform, WrestleT, would be fantastic.
Very, very cool. Nooner, what you got?
We were actually going to ask about the dog, but we saw the dog walk.
Yeah, while you were answering that question. Yes. We're big dog people. Oh, dog cameo. We're all about it.
Yes, that's our favorite cameo.
Aww.
Tell us about. She's just trying to eat my mac and cheese.
I mean, that's fair, though. So tell us about the dog.
Well, her name is Tata. I got her a couple of months before I left to Calgary to train with Lance Storm. So she's literally been with me from the beginning of this like crazy journey. I took her to Canada when she was like 6 months old. Lance even like offered to let her come to training, which was a no-go for me personally, but he was a fan of my dog. And met her on the first day that I was out there. And she's just awesome. Brought her to a couple of shows, but she's a little bit of a wily beast. So I leave her with my mom when I travel.
Aww, that's amazing. We love dogs. Aww. I want to rescue some poor soul at some point for sure. But you knew we were going to bring it up. You mentioned it. Bill, when you were on the predictions panel with us, Bill's like, what, you trained with Lance? So this is initially why we wanted to interview you way back when. And it was so good to finally get to meet you. But let's talk about it. What made you decide to, you know, become a wrestler at first, and then obviously getting to train with the likes of a Lance Storm? Tell us about that.
Well, I think that the idea of becoming a wrestler had like been in my mind since I was like 12 or 13 and kind of got smart to certain backstage aspects of the pro wrestling industry. Cause I'm one of those people who, well, anyway, I won't get into it. I believed the authenticity of wrestling for quite some time. Let's just say that. So I initially began training in 2015 with Johnny Rods in Brooklyn, New York, Gleason's gym, World of Unpredictable Wrestling, gotta plug him. And I had kind of been going through a rough time in college. It was a big transitional period for me, and I wound up moving back to New York City. So I figured, you know, now or never, this is the time to pursue this. I'd been a fan of wrestling for like, at that point, since I was 7 years old. And it's always something that was in the back of my mind. And I met Johnny, met Masha Slamovich there, and began training for a year there. And I learned my basics, but I felt like I reached a plateau in terms of the training that I got, like with myself. I felt like I needed someone to help me step up my game. And I had heard so many good things about Lance Storm's school, and obviously watched Lance Storm growing up. So I did some research. It's a very pricey school to attend. So I saved about $10,000. I kid you not, to not only go to the school, not be able to work during that time, and just fully focus on the lifestyle there, which was a blessing. And to this date, like the single greatest experience of my life, because aside from wrestling training, Lance is such a good person, and you don't often find true role models in wrestling. And even when I stopped wrestling because of injuries, and I just have a soft skull, lots of concussions, Lance was very supportive of me the whole time, and he still is. Whenever I have like an opportunity I have to ask him about, or, you know, just something I want to bounce off him, he always, you know, gives me what he can, even though he's like, you know, I'm not a broadcaster, but I'll give you my opinion of how this should go. So yeah, Lance is awesome. And training in Calgary, I got to train with a couple of people who, if you watch English wrestling or British wrestling, you might know Darren Kearney from More Than Hype. He's great. He will be in the States at some point.
Okay.
Look him up if you don't know him, Darren Kearney. And then also Brian Pillman Jr. was in my class. Nice. So Brian and I became really good friends. We're still friends now. I'm so proud of everything he's accomplished. So getting to train with those two people who've gone on to just continue their training was really awesome. And yeah, I would recommend Lance to anybody. Do his online sessions. He doesn't have a school anymore.
It's online.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah, he's doing online coaching. And I know a couple of people who've gotten his coaching. And they certainly get their money's worth. They'll get like 4 pages of notes and like a full hour. And he'll like stay on even past the time, because that's how much he cares about wrestling. So
hey. Hey, it's Lance Storm. It's worth it. That's awesome. It's good to hear that he's a good human, which I like to hear in wrestling a lot. That's the most important things for sure. But you mentioned watching Lance growing up. Who were like your guys? Who were your girls? Like who really got you fired up for wrestling?
Oh my God. So when I was a kid, this is embarrassing.
No.
I had a really big crush on like Billy Kidman.
Yeah, it's a great answer.
Billy Kidman is so underrated. Yes. He should have been a way bigger star than he was.
I've always said that.
Tremendous cruiserweights.
Oh, he's one of my favorites.
I really enjoyed them. I would also say Randy Orton, obviously. I've been there since the beginning.
Nice.
So embarrassing. I can't believe I just said that out loud.
What's your favorite variation of Orton? What's your favorite variation? You like the Legend Killer? You like Evolution Orton?
I am a traditionalist, and I I love Evolution Orton as well as the beginning of the Legend Killer Orton.
Yes, that's my favorite era.
Oh, me too. I mean, he was just such a classic heel, and the Legend Killer thing, I don't think it could have been done by anyone else, especially with Undertaker. But yeah, Orton as well. I really liked Test. I liked Edge, Eddie Guerrero.
Eddie's one of my favorites. Well.
And I really, as a faction, Evolution really like cemented wrestling in for me. I've got to say, I know that some people don't think wrestling after 2001 is cool, but hey, I'm 26 and that's when I started watching. Since then, I've watched 70s, 80s, 90s wrestling, all that good stuff. But those are people that definitely influenced my interest in wrestling. And then as far as the ladies go, Lita all the way, Trish Stratus, of course. And then later on, I guess, I was a fan of Beth Phoenix as well.
She's so good.
Yeah. And then just in recent years, Sasha Banks, of course. She just does so much for the industry. And she's elevated women's wrestling so much. She's such a natural talent. And you can tell that she loves it. So lots of respect for her.
God, so those are some great answers. Billy Kidman. I think that's the first time we got that answer. We were watching Kidman and Mysterio matches a couple months ago.
Because I was showing him old WCW Rey Mysterio matches. And when him and Kidman were teaming up and they were wearing the overalls, and Kidman was the first one that made the jorts cool.
That's
before
right.
Cena. So.
Yes, he did have the jorts. I remember this. And this was when Mysterio also had like the Riddler type.
Question mark.
Yeah.
You know, but Sam, thank you first again so much for a few minutes of your time. We want to be very respectful because we know you're flying all of over the country. You're working for every promotion. We'll say it right now. You are the future of this business. Things are going to go great for you. I said this to you when I met you. You know, things happen in the universe for a reason. You're going to go very, very far. So before we get out of here, we got to ask you this one, Sam. What advice would you have for some up and coming commentators like myself, maybe some young girls that want to be broadcasters growing up? Any advice coming from someone who's killing it right now on the independent scene and is going to kill it on the national level very soon?
Thank you. I certainly hope so. And it's kind of weird to be asked for advice since I've only been doing this a year, but I have learned a lot in a year. So I'll say, I think that with broadcasting, the number one thing is going to be networking along with honing your craft. So network, become friends with the wrestlers, be useful at promotions. And just know everything. Don't just interview. Don't just ring announce. Don't just commentate. The breadth of things that you're able to do will get you work. You know, like I think, especially on a national level, a lot of women and men that are being hired right now are coming from outside of wrestling, which puts them at a disadvantage. So if you are someone who makes your way, you know, up the ranks in the indies as a broadcaster and you know everything, you are a very good long-term investment for a big company. That's how I think of it, at least. And that's how I'm trying to position myself for the future. So just more specifically, I guess I'm not going to give any advice for commentary because I do not think that I'm in a position to. Maybe a year from now when I'm much better, we'll see. But as far as ring announcing goes, I have had sore throats many times because I didn't breathe well. So use the diaphragm, learn how to breathe from your diaphragm. That's the most important, I think. Okay. And don't, the show's not about you. It's about the wrestlers unless they want you to MC. Best advice I could give. And then with interviews, like I said earlier, actively listen, find your own voice. Don't talk like this and be like, hey, how's it going, Triple H? You know, it's
nice.
So just be yourself. Not that I've ever interviewed Triple H, but be yourself and research people. Don't ask the same questions. Wrestlers hate that. This is the number one advice for interviewing. If you're going to do an interview, I think that it should be 15 to 20 minutes. That's what I think. Only because I've heard wrestlers that are friends of mine tell me, if it wasn't you, Sam, I wouldn't want to do it. That's all I'm going to say. I know that you're good at what you do and you can get away with doing it for half an hour or more, but a lot of people can't. So yeah, I would say if you're starting out, 15 to 20 minutes. People have short attention spans. So do wrestlers. So do we.
I think people just feel bad for us, but I appreciate it, Sam. And thank you for making the time. This really is an honor. I hope to work with you again. Stay safe and just continue success moving forward. We know you'll kill it.
Thank you. Hope to see you at Magic. And Nunez, if we meet in person or if you're at a show I'm at, come say hi. I'd love to meet
you. Yes, definitely will.
That's awesome. Thanks, Sam. Keep killing it. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We're out. Peace.
Bye.